The last few Mishnayos have been talking about the laws of an Asherah tree, a tree which has been served as Avodah Zarah, and the prohibition to derive any benefit from that tree. Now we're going to see in the coming Perek a concept known as Bittul Avodah Zarah, nullifying idolatry. And in short, that is when a non-Jewish idol worshipper does something to show disrespect or disregard towards an idol, something which shows that he doesn't view it as a god anymore. And once the non-Jewish idol worshipper does that, then that idol, which until now was forbidden to benefit from, will become permitted. Now, even before we get into the details of those laws in the next perek, the Mishnah asks regarding an Asherah tree, Ketzer Mevatla, what would be considered a good nullification of an Asherah tree? And the Mishnah gives a few examples. Kirsaim, if the non-Jew cut off some of the dry branches for his own sake, to use as firewood, vizereid, or if he cut off some of the moist branches of the tree for his own sake, for his own needs, not on the makel, if he took off of the tree a stick, a sharvet, or some sort of staff or a twig, afilu ole, even just a small leaf, any of the things which he does for his own need, that's showing a total disregard of the fact that this tree is worshipped as a god. So as soon as he does that, the Asherah tree is nullified and it will be permitted to benefit from the tree and anything which comes off of it. Shafoya, if he sort of shaved off the small splinters and the rough edges of the tree. Litzarka, if he did it for the need of the tree, in order to make the tree look nicer, so there he's really doing it for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. So of course Asura, the tree will remain forbidden. Shelo litzarka, however, if he's doing that not for the sake of beautifying and making the tree look nicer, but rather for his own needs. Perhaps he wants small pieces of wood, so that's why he's doing it. In that case, Moteres, the tree would become permitted to benefit from, and once again it's important to note, and we'll see more about this in the next perek, that this only applies if the non-Jewish idol worshipper is the one who does this. But if a regular Jew does this, he does not have the power to annul and nullify the idol. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. One of the forms of idolatry which existed and was worshipped by Romans is known in the Mishnah as Marculis, Mercury. And the custom of these idol worshippers and the way they would set up their idol was that they would take three stones. This was at least the main, the most regular form of Marculis. They would take three stones, place two of them next to each other and one on top of those two. And they would try to set these up specifically at crossroads. And whenever somebody who worshipped this idol would pass by, the way that they would serve the idol is by throwing other stones towards it. The question of our Mishnah is, what happens if somebody finds other stones which are nearby a Marculis? Do we need to be concerned that those stones perhaps used to be part of this Marculis? The Marculis was sometimes made up of more than just three stones. It was sometimes a whole pile of stones. Or do we need to be concerned that this stone came from somebody who worshipped the idol by throwing a stone towards it? That stone is also forbidden to use since it was part of the service for that Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Shalosh Avonim Zoi B'Tzadzoi, if somebody finds three stones which are side by side, they're not necessarily stacked in that arrangement that a Marculis is usually arranged, with two at the bottom and one on top of those two. But there are three stones which are next to each other, B'Tzad Marculis, and these three are found on the side very nearby a Marculis. The Marculis is set up like a regular Marculis with two stones at the bottom and one going on top of those two. If you find three stones near a Marculis, even if it's anywhere up to four amas away, then it is forbidden, Asuris, it's forbidden to benefit from those stones. However, Shtaim, if there are only two of them, then Mutorois, it is permitted to benefit from them. And we are going to understand that we're talking about a case where although these stones are relatively nearby, within four amas of the Marculis, nevertheless, there's something in the way, in between the Marculis and these stones, which makes us think and assume that these stones didn't come from somebody who was throwing the stones at the Marculis, but rather they were set up there intentionally, or they came from elsewhere. But they didn't come from somebody throwing the stones towards the Marculis, because there's something in the way and they wouldn't have really have got there. So what is the reason to assume that they have anything to do with the Marculis? The answer is, according to this opinion of the Mishnah, it was also a common custom for those who served the Marculis to set up a sort of mini Marculis nearby the Marculis. They'd get three more stones, perhaps smaller than the main Marculis which was set up there, and they would set it up nearby, a mini one. So if one finds three stones there, and also it should be noted that when they set up these three stones, they wouldn't always be careful to set it up in the exact form of a Marculius with two at the bottom and one on top of those two. The main idea was to have three stones nearby the Marculius. And this was known as a Marculius Koton, which literally means a mini Marculius. So if one finds three stones nearby, then it's forbidden, but if there are only two of them, then it would be permitted. And we don't need to be concerned that those two maybe were the stones which are thrown at the Marculius, because again, we're discussing a case where there's something in the way, which leads us to think and assume that it didn't come from somebody throwing the stones towards the Marculius. The Chachomim say that the practice of people to set up a Marculius Koton, a mini Marculius, nearby the main Marculius, wasn't so common. And therefore, we never need to be concerned that stones nearby a Marculius were set up there intentionally to be a mini Marculius. Rather, the only concern is that the stone was actually thrown towards the Marculius and then landed very nearby. So according to the Chachamim, Sheniris Imai, stones which appear with the Marculius, meaning if there's nothing in the way and we can see clearly how somebody would have thrown the stone there and it would have landed where it is now, then Asuris, it's forbidden. But Sheniris Imai, if it doesn't appear together with the Marculius, there's something in the way so we can see that it doesn't come from somebody who threw a stone towards it, then Mutaris, it will be permitted as long as it's quite nearby, within 4 amas of the Marculius. And the main argument is that, according to the Chachomim, one never needs to be concerned that the stones were set up there intentionally to be a mini Marculius. Mishnah Beis, Motzah Bereishoy, if somebody finds on top of a Marculius structure, and these stones could be quite large sometimes, he found on top of it mois, money, kasus, or an item of clothing, or kalim, or other utensils, and it's clear that they haven't been placed there in order to beautify the idol and to make it look nicer. They've just been placed on top of the idol. Ha'elim utorin, it is permitted to benefit from those. It's learned from Pesukim that only things which are added onto an idol in order to decorate it and beautify it become forbidden like the idol itself. But if not, then it is still permitted to benefit from it. However, that having been said, parkilei anovim, this refers to parts of a vine which have been taken off, still with all of their branches attached, and it's sort of hanging or lying on top of the Marculius, and there are grapes on there, v'atoris shel shibolim, which literally means crowns made of stalks of grain looking quite nice, v'yenos, or if there's a container of wine, or shamanim, or of oil, or salosos, or of fine flour, v'chol dovah shekayetz b'korban gam mizbeach, and anything which the equivalent would be offered up on the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, wine. With many of the korbanos, wine was poured onto the mizbeach. That was a service done in the Beis HaMikdash. And even if there are only grapes or grain here, since they can be processed into flour or into wine, they would also become forbidden as soon as they are attached to the Avodah Zarah. Another explanation is that the grapes and the grain aren't forbidden because they can be turned into wine or something else, but because they represent the bikurim, the first fruit of somebody's tree when it ripens. He needs to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash, and it's a very joyous occasion. But again, it's a process done in the Beis HaMikdash, so it would also be forbidden. The main point is that things which in the Beis HaMikdash represent a very true and intrinsic service in the Beis HaMikdash, as soon as anything like that has a connection with the Avodah Zarah, it's viewed as something which is sort of part of the worship of the Avodah Zarah. It gets that attachment to the Avodah Zarah, and it would become forbidden, just like the Avodah Zarah is forbidden. You would no longer be able to benefit from any of these things which are on the Marculius. Mishnah Gimel, Avodah Zarah Shalal Gimel Imerchatz. An idol which had a garden or a bathhouse right next to the idol. Let's say there was a building or a garden right next to the idol, and it wasn't there in order to give a beautiful sort of background for the sake of the idol. It wasn't there in order to beautify the idol. However, it was sort of designated for the idol, the most clear recognition of that being that anybody who would come there and benefit from the garden or the bathhouse would pay money, and that money would go towards supporting those who worshipped the idol and were priests for the idol. So the Mishnah says, interestingly, Nehen Mehen, it is permitted to benefit from the garden or the bathhouse as long as it is Shelo B'Tova, not done with a requirement to give something in return, meaning to give money. The actual benefit from the garden is permitted because it's not a part of the Avodah Zarah, and it's not even there in order to make the Avodah Zarah look nicer. It's there in order to collect money for the sake of the priests of the Avodah Zarah. And therefore, as long as you don't have to pay, you're allowed to benefit from it. However, it is forbidden to benefit from it and if you have to pay, because then you would be paying priests of Avodah Zarah, and even though according to the strict letter of the law, there's not technically anything wrong with that, midrabbanan is actually forbidden. Because it does very much appear like you are supporting and giving things towards the idol itself. Now, because this is only forbidden midrabbanan, and the garden and the bathhouse haven't really intrinsically got anything to do with the idol itself, if her shelov shel acherim, the garden or the bathhouse, belonged both to the idol's priests, and they received part of the money which people gave, and it also belonged to other people, so not all of the money which you would pay them would end up going to the priests of the Avodah Zarah. Once that's the case, then it is permitted to benefit from the garden and the bathhouse, whether you need to pay or not, because anyway, it's not all going to the priests. It no longer seems like you are doing something to support and give money to the idol itself, and therefore the Rabbanon did not apply their prohibition over here.